Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this program very much. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Monday, February 14, 2022. A minister in South Sudan says free speech is a right enshrined in South Sudan's constitution.
This period of peace implementation, peacemaking, is a period of dialogue. Let us take advantage of the availability of media outlets like radio. Instead of dwelling on sarcastic communication and divisive communication on social media.
And some lawmakers in South Sudan say important bills connected to the 2018 peace agreement are yet to be discussed in the National Legislative Assembly.
We've been miyamading in the governance for over 2 years. So those chapters without implementing them, unless if we need to have a very sharp elections.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Some lawmakers in South Sudan say six laws due for amendments in accordance to the 2018 peace agreement are yet to be presented before the parliament for discussion. Constitutional Amendment Bill, Political Parties Bill, and the Elections Bill were supposed to be enacted into laws before the end of the transitional period. The head of Information Committee at the National Assembly says the bills shall be discussed once this year's budget is passed. David Monodanga reports for VOA from Juba.
With only 12 months of the transitional period left, several important pieces of legislation included in Chapter 4 of the Revitalized Agreement on the Resolution of Conflict in South Sudan have yet to be ratified. MP Paulino Lukudu, a member of other political parties who represents Central Equatoria, says at least six laws were supposed to be amended by now, including the Constitutional Amendment Bill, the Political Parties Bill, and the Elections Bill. So far, Lukudu says none of the bills have been presented before Parliament. He says a lack of political will among politicians has caused the delay.
We've been miyamading in the governance for over 2 years. So those chapters without implementing them, unless if we need to have a very sham elections, elections that can justify the presence of the people in the offices, but not elections that follow the international standard of free and fair elections by having one army that can protect all the politicians who will want to stand in any public office.
Lukudu says it's important to enact the political parties bill to accommodate all signatories to the peace agreement so that parties can register and be part and parcel of the 2023 elections. John Agany, head of the Specialized Committee on Information and Communications in the Transitional National Legislative Assembly, says several factors have hindered efforts to bring up bills to amend certain pieces of legislation as required by the peace agreement.
The formation of the chairperson and deputy chairperson have ended the process of those bills. So I believe the other bill remains pending, but the constitutional amendment bill is already with us. And shortly after the national budget has been passed, then we will come back to table immediately the constitutional amendment bill. In the agreement, all the bills are they look to be urgent according to the way they are planned. But you know it has to be gradual as they come to us because bills cannot be brought at a go.
Lukudu says even Chapter 1 of the agreement, which provides for the formation of government, is incomplete because county councillors and city council councillors in all 10 states have yet to be formed. He says county commissioners, city officials and town mayors have been making decisions alone.
Up to today, there is no single county that has councillors. And those councillors are the people who will actually relate the work of the political parties at the level of the counties. So we have commissioners without support of the councillors. Commissioners are acting alone.
Lukudu says aside from amending laws and passing legislation, South Sudan must also conduct a census before elections are held in 2023 and form a national army.
Census must be conducted for us to know how many constituencies we are going to have based on the number of the population we are going to have. Two, we cannot go for elections by having different separate armies. The army has not been unified up to the moment. Armies are loyal to individuals and loyal to political parties rather than loyal to the country and loyal to the constitution.
A commissioner with the United Nations Commission on Human Rights in South Sudan warned last Friday in Juba that South Sudan is at a tipping point. UN Commissioner Bane Afako said, quote, "The pursuit of elections runs the serious risk of fueling violence and polarization if the requisite institutions, constitutional and electoral laws, as well as logistics arrangements, are not first in place." End quote. South Sudan in Focus contacted several members of the South Sudan Opposition Alliance, another signatory to the peace deal, for comment, but none of them were available. For VOA News, I am David Monadanga in Juba.
A group of doctors from Egypt are in Jonglei State Capital Bor to treat patients with various illnesses. Jonglei State Minister for Information says the doctors will be treating patients at Bor Hospital. Denga Edeng reports for VOA from Bor.
The Egyptian doctors arrived in Bor on Saturday to begin treating patients suffering from tropical diseases and other illnesses. Dr. Aysam Al-Shahif, the doctor's team leader, who is also a consultant for internal and tropical diseases, says Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi sent the group to help treat South Sudanese.
We had clear directions from our Mr. President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, who said that Mr. Silva Kerr so much, and he loves the people of southern Sudan. So he talked to us, so you will go to your brothers and you should take care.
Dr. Al-Shahif says the group will be in Bor for the next 8 days before returning to Egypt. He says the doctors have also brought along a consignment of pharmaceuticals to treat Bor State Hospital's patients.
A lot of drugs, antibiotic drugs, fourth cephalosporin, and it's a very strong antibiotics, and cefotaxime, paracetamol tablet, antipyretic, analgesic tablet and gel, and ampoules for injection, also antispasmodic drugs, internal medicine, tropical medicine, pediatric medicine, chest infection diseases, and dermatology. Yeah, we have started the work already today from 8 a.m. And we will continue to 5 p.m.
Bor resident John Kachual, who came for a consultation today, says he is grateful for the medical help extended to South Sudan by the Egyptian government.
I came here to see the doctor because my body is very painful, and I heard from the Minister of Health that there are some doctors that came from Egypt, and then they came to Bor and they will treat people free of charge. Then I came here also to join the civil population because I'm also a member in a community, and I need a good health, and that is why I came here. So I met the doctors, and they give me some medicines, and I'm also injected also, and I will also take some tablets for my health. And then after I complete taking them, then I will see how they change in my body.
Kachual says many South Sudanese travel to seek treatment in Egypt, which is expensive. He urges the South Sudanese government to allocate some land for Egyptian doctors to build hospitals in their country, including in Bor, so that people can easily access health services. Jonglei State Health Minister Tong Kwal Manyang says she's grateful for the assistance extended to the people of Jonglei by the Egyptian government. Manyang says the help came at a time when it was most needed.
We have people who are sick. Some of them had been traveling to Juba, some of them to East Africa, and including even Egypt and Khartoum. And if the same doctors, with the same medicine that people go to seek there are here, and then people will be able to be attended to. This doesn't mean that we don't have doctors. We have doctors in the hospital who are also experienced. But the good part about these new doctors, of course, they are specialists, which we are lacking in the main hospital.
Minister Manyang says Bor State Hospital has been without a supply of life-saving drugs for the last 9 months. She says the Egyptian doctors also supplied the hospital with 500 kilograms of drugs for the treatment of various diseases, which she says will save many lives.
Ministry of Health, and in this case, not only Bor Town, but across the whole state, has been through shortage of drugs. We've not received consignment for the last 9 months, and we are supposed to receive this quarterly. So definitely it had already created some gap. Many people got sick.
Minister Manyang urges Bor residents to turn up at Bor State Hospital and use the opportunity to consult the specialists before they leave. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
The International Organization for Migration, IOM, and 40 other humanitarian organizations, including UN agencies, serve the children, and the governments of Djibouti, Ethiopia, Somalia, and Yemen have launched an appeal for $67 million to provide life-saving assistance to nearly 500,000 African migrants. The appeal, known as the Regional Migrant Response Plan for the Horn of Africa and Yemen, was launched Thursday to respond to the dire humanitarian and security situation facing migrants on the eastern route between the Horn of Africa, Yemen, and the Gulf region. Yvonne Dege is IOM regional spokesperson for East and Horn of Africa. VOA reporter Ruben Chama spoke to her. He began by asking her to give more details about the appeal.
The appeal is designed to provide life-saving humanitarian and protection assistance to nearly 500,000 migrants and host communities on this eastern route. We're looking at around 494,000. Many of the migrants are stranded along this corridor trying to reach the Gulf, often without food or water. Many die of starvation, hunger, dehydration along the way. Some also are kidnapped. Some are detained, in particular in Yemen, where we know tens of thousands of African migrants are stranded or detained in facilities. The only way IOM, the International Organization for Migration, the UN Migration Agency, can address this issue is by working with the leaders, the governments, the authorities in the concerned nations, primarily Ethiopia, Somalia, Djibouti, Yemen, and of course the Gulf countries, which are the destination, but also sister UN agencies and other humanitarian and protection organizations.
What has been the impact of COVID-19 movement restrictions on migrants along the Eastern Corridor?
The impact of COVID-19 has been serious and severe for many, many, many migrants. Many migrants embarked on the journey on a destination unbeknown to them of the unfolding global pandemic crisis. Many became stranded and remain stranded. When you look at the fact that the measures to try to address or to halt the spread of the disease has forced national, global border closures and movement restrictions, IOM and its partners have found many, many migrants affected. They're also exposed to the conditions that are more likely to cause the spread of the pandemic, often living in cramped or overcrowded places and conditions, often sharing small spaces, not having access to personal protective equipment such as masks and sanitizers, and access to basic hygiene, being able to take a shower or wash one's hands. We know that there is a shortage and a lack of access to clean water when many of these migrants are undertaking these journeys. So may not have access to the vaccine. So the impact of the pandemic has been devastating. Migrants have faced xenophobia, discrimination, stigmatization, where migrants are blamed or where migrants are believed to be carriers of the virus because of the very nature of their lives.
That's Yvonne Ndege, IOM Regional Spokesperson for East and Horn of Africa. She was speaking with VOA's Ruben Chama from Nairobi. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, some South Sudanese say radio has helped them to get the right information about the 2018 peace agreement. Find out how after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
do you know any first aid techniques?
Come to think of this question, I thought I do, but seriously, I think I may not be able to do too well if there is any situation present. Maybe it's something I need to go in and learn how to do. It could help somebody tomorrow.
During our school days, the Red Cross Society, the clubs that we joined, they taught us a lot. When a child runs high temperature, you sponge the child with water from the leg to the head. Then you just rush the person to the hospital for best treatment.
In case if you have drowned maybe from water, the first aid technique that is available to be given is a kiss of life to a person that has drowned into water.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Tanzanian media have welcomed the government's decision to lift a ban on four newspapers that was imposed by late President John Pombe Magufuli. His successor, President Samia Hassan, promised to relax media restrictions, but the government slapped temporary ban on two other newspapers last year. Charles Kombe reports for VOA from Dar es Salaam.
The government issued new publishing licenses this week to newspapers Mwanahalisi, Mawio, Mseto, and Tanzania Daima. The latter is owned by opposition leader Freeman Mbowe, who is behind bars facing economic charges. Speaking during a meeting with editors Thursday, Minister of Information Nape Nnauye said the paper's licenses were restored on the orders of President Samia Hassan as part of her promise to uphold press freedom.
Kwa sababu mambo haya vizuri kuondoka kwenye maneno tutende, si ndio?
If the government means to have a fresh start with journalists, he said, it should express that commitment with actions and not mere words. Is that not right? I will hand over the licenses here myself, he added, so that we finish the rumors. However, Hassan's government has not hesitated to suspend other papers deemed to have run afoul of Tanzania's media law. Last year, the weekly paper Raia Mwema was suspended for 30 days for linking a gunman who killed four people to the ruling party CCM. The Huru newspaper was suspended for a week after publishing a story about the president saying she will not seek another term in 2025. Salome Kitomari of the Media Institute of Southern Africa in Tanzania, an organization that defends freedom of expression, welcomed the news that the four banned newspapers will again be allowed to publish. She also hopes to see the media law amended. Charles Kombe for VOA News in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania.
Sunday was World Radio Day, a day set aside to celebrate the importance of radio around the world. South Sudan's Minister for Peace Building is urging South Sudanese to use radio to dialogue with each other and support efforts to restore peace and stability in the country. Many South Sudanese say radio gives information on economic and political affairs in the country. Wake Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
40-year-old Juba resident Tunda Henry Enoka, dressed in an orange t-shirt and jeans, sits in a plastic chair outside his hut, searching for radio stations. Henry scans through various frequencies on the dial, trying to tune in his favorite radio program. He says radio is his favorite source of news and information, especially on the implementation of the South Sudan Peace Agreement.
city, aware us of what is taking place around the country and then the other part of the world, as we are also part of the global people, because we need to know what's taking place outside and how do we compare our life with the life of other people in other countries, so that we, such with the needs, especially we, the youth, will be able to learn many things.
Henry, who says he is a fan of VOS South Sudan in Focus program, says he benefits a lot by listening to radio, noting its ease of access to news compared to other media outlets.
I would like the radio station to also take even the population, add the people around, to ask them come like this, and then also interview us, and then sometimes also take even some of us, the young men, to the studio for show, like post talk show, where we also our boys can be listened, because sometimes our big people, they need also to hear from us.
Kong Pal is the station manager at the Juba-based iRadio, which is funded by USAID. Pal says had it not been for the wide availability of radio, many South Sudanese would not have followed the country's peace process and the implementation of the peace agreement. Local radio stations are able to explain various aspects of the peace deal by producing programs that include experts who drill down into the peace process.
In South Sudan, many have not gone to school. They cannot read the document. And it was written in English. So radios played its role to put it in different language so that whoever speak that language get what has been signed. And to understand that there's a ceasefire, that there's power sharing, that there's security arrangement. There will be reform in institution and public institution.
But Pal says access to accurate information can be a challenge because people don't always feel free to speak openly.
This issue of freedom of expression is an issue. If people cannot speak, if people are afraid to speak, including civil society organization, including the politician, including the people in the government, could not be open enough to tell us what is happening.
South Sudan's Minister for Peace Building, Stephen Parkwall, acknowledges the importance of radio in disseminating information, particularly on the peace agreement and its implementation. Par says more should be done to allow citizens to speak freely.
This period of peace implementation, peacemaking, is a period of dialogue. Let us take advantage of the availability of media outlets like radio. Instead of dwelling on sarcastic communication and divisive communication on social media, I think it is time for dialogues. People should be interacting physically to dialogues among themselves and use positive messages, you know, on radios.
Par calls on citizens to resist state actors who limit their freedom of speech, especially in radio, and says the unity government is working to address this issue by fully implementing the peace deal, which includes reforms aimed at promoting freedom of speech. February 13th was commemorated World Radio Day by member states of the United Nations Cultural Agency, UNESCO, when it was first proclaimed in 2011 to highlight the importance of radio in society. The theme for this year's World Radio Day is Radio and Trust. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Udu in Juba.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linar Mudu. The World Health Organization and the Africa Centers for Disease Control say there are no drugs approved to fight COVID-19. If you have tested positive, talk to a doctor before taking any medicines. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's all we prepared for you this Monday. We now end this show with Colonel Mido and the song Nani Ongere.
Nani Ongere. Monyo mi jinga yara ego nanie anivuni aurwe anivuni aurwe monyo mi jinga yara ego nanie monyo mi jinga yara ego nanie anivuni aurwe anevuni aurwe nani olotir nani olongere mama nani olotir nani olongere mama nani olotir nani olongere nani olotir nani olongere Nani olotir
ayamani balu tauru ena isu
Nani olongere
ayamani balu tauru ena isu
Nani onyo horibong
ayamani balu tauru ena isu
Nani olotir nani olongere mama Nani olotir nani olongere mama Nani olotir nani olongere Nani olotir Nani olongere
Ayamani balu tauru ena isutwe Ayamani balu tauru ena isutwe Ayamani balu tauru ena isutwe Ayamani balu tauru ena isutwe
Bwa ikijubwa okoribong Bwae kanga bwae oiromo e Bwae kijubwa okoribong Bwae kanga bwae iromo e Evrada nani tene Evwa Evrada nani tene Evwa Adulungi esenta Akana Akana Igu moti Igu moi Nani onyo okoribong Nani olotir, nani olongere. Ivana, Ivana.
We have been listening to Colonel Mido and the song Nani Ongere. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for joining us this evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Nani unyo